We are heading out to Democrat of the Day. Joining us right now is the challenger to Paul Gazelka, A. John Peters. He is running for Senate seat 9. He's kind enough to join today to join us to talk about his campaign. John, how are you today, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing really good. Our front actually moved through last night right after the big lightning and windstorm and a little bit of hail, but it really feels good up here in north central Minnesota.
I am such a Minnesota guy. I mean, 65 to 75, that's my window. That's like the sweet spot right there. And I'm serious, 65 degrees, I love 65 degrees. And in sunshine, it's nice. But you get up into these 80s and these 90s, ugh, it's just been maddening. Has it been bad for you guys up there?
Yeah, it's been really warm for those of us that tend to like the cooler weather. It's not like I grew up in southern Iowa where we'd have 2 weeks of what I called 90 degrees temperature, 90 degrees humidity, and I hated that. So I'm glad I'm up here.
John, why don't you take some time right now, introduce us. Who exactly is John Peters?
Well, I'm the guy running against Mr. Gazelka, but I'm a little older than most people. I've been in the computer business for 52 years. Starting as an intern on the first moon landing, and then have taught high school, but done research in computer science, been a director at a Fortune 500 company, taught college courses in computer science, and I've managed to retire twice. First time I lasted about a month before I started teaching college, and the next time I opened up a computer business here in beautiful Long Prairie, Minnesota.
You're working in, by my, what were the first computers you were working on? Do you remember off the top of your head?
Well, yeah, it was with UNIVAC. Nobody knows who UNIVAC is anymore.
I remember UNIVAC, yeah.
Yeah, they actually sold the first business to computer to a little company called IBM. But what we did is, I was a football player in college, and I think I got hired for this reason. Programs we did to do the communications for landing on the moon, the programmers wire-wrapped this board that was about 4 foot by 4 foot, and then you would pick this board up, and you would place it into the computer. They weighed about 50 pounds. You push a button, and that ran the program. When you wanted to change the program, you push the button and put another board in. And I also got to deliver Cheetos and chilies to the programmers.
Well, you've got a long career. You've been working, obviously, you've seen a great change just in your business over the years. What all of a sudden prompted you to say to yourself, you know what, I'm going to run. I've had it with Paul Gazelka. I'm going to run and see if I can knock him out and take his Senate seat.
Well, you know, just taking a look, you know, all of his no votes on here. You know, he voted no against local people having minimal wage and guaranteeing sick leave. Every time a education budget gets to the or transportation comes from the House to the Senate, he negotiates it down to about one third of where it was. You know, and with education, we are roughly at the same place we are at 2000 in dollar numbers, but guess what? In 20 years, there's been quite a bit of inflation, so we are spending a lot less money on education and infrastructure than we were in the year 2000. So I just can't stand that, and I really want to improve the education, improve the transportation, including internet, because I have several people up here that cannot do Zoom meetings or take the kids to do the online classes because they don't have good enough internet. They have to go into town and have to buy it. In Little Falls, people are actually going in and sitting in the school parking lot so they could do their homework because that's the only place they could get internet.
Well,
and of course, you know, with bridges falling down and all that. So.
John, if you don't mind me talking a little bit, because Gazelka yesterday made some comments which definitely deserve to be criticized. First, he says we don't need the emergency order for the governor anymore because there is no emergency. Once again, last Friday we had 804 cases of coronavirus, the fourth highest day total in the state of Minnesota. We still have, even on today, which is what near 400 today, it still is a pretty major problem, and we still have people dying. Not on – on top of that, he basically said schools should be open, schools – people should go to schools. And there's this insane level of doublespeak from Republicans where they're demanding everything get open. They're demanding no face masks. They're demanding no emergency declaration. But yet then when people start, you know, caving into their demands, they're the first ones saying, whoa, whoa, I didn't say we should go to school. I didn't say you should go to Arby's. I didn't say you should get a haircut. And so you've got this paradox that's being put out by them. You just said it. I mean, let's talk a little bit about this. In your district, I know that the healthcare issue with COVID is still going on, as well as this is not a good idea to be just sending, even, I don't care what school district you're in, to send a bunch of kids into a school at the beginning of the school year in September. I can't, to be so brazen and demand that people do that, I can't think that that's serving the community.
Well, you know, I believe in education. I believe that kids need to be taught. I actually have written some online learning classes. And for me to teach the class that I wrote, it would take me 6 months of preparation. So one thing, we've been very unfair to our teachers saying teach online classes. Oh, you got 4 days to start the first class. That's been very unfair.
Absolutely.
Second thing, I kind of think what we should be doing is, first of all, doing hybrid classes, but then we have to divide it up into maybe four sections a day so we can do good distance learning. We have time between classes to properly clean the information, and we have to properly train the teachers to do both a hybrid class and a little bit of in-class classes. So with that said, you can't drop the funding to education, or you can't and do this right. Mm-hmm. You will not go to school safe if you have the traditional classroom. And this is coming from a person that had COVID and knows it's quite real.
And going back, one other thing too, you said about the broadband. I mean, he proposes this. There's a very good chance every school in this state is going to have to do some online learning in the next school year at the very least. And yet I don't see any proposals for him to increase the broadband spending, the internet spending in outstate Minnesota, something Republicans have insisted they're going to do but have yet to ever put the money forward to actually do it correctly. And that's, as you said, I mean, it's one thing to have online classes, but if you have half your school doesn't have easy and reliable internet access, well, there's another large problem.
Well, yeah, because, you know, and I understand the problems from the companies putting it out because, you know, they need to make a profit. You know, I like profit. I have nothing against profit unless it's stealing-type profit. But you go through here, we have to take the time to do it. You know, we have to lay the fiber, go through a river. You have to go into the river, and you have to do it right so you don't hurt the environment. And that just takes money. I mean, the best thing to do is treat the Internet like the REA and get it to every house. And get high-speed broadband so you could at least do a Zoom meeting with two or three people. You know, there's more to life than just watching Netflix.
Hey, John Peters joining us. He's running against Paul Gazelka for the Minnesota Senate seat. Talk a little bit. You mentioned you had COVID, that you came down with coronavirus. I'm glad have you fully recovered?
I still have some breathing problems, and I still have some balance problems. But all in all, I'm healthy. You know, I'm getting to the point now where I can really, really work a long work day, and that feels good. I just, you know, I was up to walking 6-7 miles a day and trying to do 20 to 30 stairs of flights, and, you know, I get tired after one flight of stairs now. But, you know, to be a legislature, I don't necessarily have to walk upstairs all day. So.
Well,
I'm glad I got in shape before I had COVID, because I'd hate to see what I would have been like if I hadn't.
Well, and then that brings up the healthcare. I mean, so you had a front row seat. You're seeing exactly the failures in the healthcare system. I mean, we've talked about, I've talked with numerous people about the fact that we've got a for-profit, and I don't have any problem with profit either, a for-profit healthcare system. But one of the downsides to that is non-profitable hospitals, primarily in rural America, they've shut them down or they've put them in with skeleton staffs and cut the amount of people that are working there. And you know, this is unfortunately, this is, you know, waking us up to the problems of that sort of mentality towards our healthcare system. But it's not helping right now. I know that you want to spend a lot more money helping out the 9th Senate District with a better healthcare system, correct?
Well, we'll add to my healthcare woes. From 1997 to 2002, I spent 200 days in the hospital with various different things going on. And I was going from where being fairly well off to being $200,000 in debt. And if I hadn't been a computer person whose job skills were necessary, by the way, there are computer people tend to get paid better than teachers, if you hadn't noticed that. And if I would have been just a teacher, I probably would have never made it out of that hole. So that's one of the key things that I have with health care. The other thing is I was actually told by a hospital administrator that I was talking to that if the support from the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, as they like to call it, they would probably have to close their hospital. Now, I'm 70 years old. I've got several friends that are elderly. You know, if I say had a heart attack tomorrow, which I don't plan on doing, and I had to take the ambulance 50 miles, what are my chances?
Exactly.
Of getting there. The second thing is, you know, with some of the stuff that's going on, what if the type of work, type of thing that I'm getting treated for, I would have to drive to the Twin Cities, which is about a 2-hour and 15-minute drive if you spend the, if you stay fairly close to the speed limit, okay? You know, how many people older that have a health condition can spend, go once a week, 2 hours and 15 minutes to the Twin Cities, spend the time with the doctor and then spend 2 hours and 15 minutes getting back? They just can't do it. We need local health care.
Mm-hmm.
I can't complain about the doctors we have up here. They're very good. I can't complain against the clinics we have up here. They're very good. But if they start closing down because they can't afford it, we up here are in big trouble.
Well, and this also once it goes back to the broadband. If you had the broadband, even if there was a special disc you needed to see, you could still do that from the comfort of either your local hospital or even your home, as opposed to having to drive. I mean, nothing against Starbucks, but hey, I don't want to go through my medical files while I'm sitting in a Starbucks just because it's the closest place that has internet access.
You know, and the telemedical is good. I went through some of that when I was having COVID here this last time, and that got me very good advice. And, you know, they tested some things out, you know, but not everybody can do that. I mean, because they almost have to see you. So to see what's happening. When I say see, I mean physically see what's happening.
Mm-hmm. I want to encourage people. I mean, if you did not hear the insanity coming from the Senate Majority Leader yesterday, Paul Gazelka, that this idea that we are not in an emergency situation, that even 400, 500 people, 600 people, 800 people getting sick in a day is just a normal day. That having 10, 15 people die each day of a disease is that's just normal. The fact that even though we don't really have a safety plan in place to keep our kids healthy or keep our schools safe, that he wants to send kids back. You came away with that saying that Paul Gazelka is actually a large part of the problem. And by the way, we still haven't gotten an answer on that whole thing about him possibly trying to usurp the governor's power with Todd, union head over at the Bob Kroll, Bob Kroll over at the Minneapolis Police Union. There was that whole thing that Bob Kroll said he was trying to take power away from the governor, and even Gazelka bragged about trying to call the White House in to usurp Governor Walz's power. So we have some questions about him. I don't think he's fit for office. I would love to see John go on in and do a better job, because I can tell you right now it's just – they need better service. But to do this, to get John Peters in the Senate, we need to get volunteers and donations up to you there. Because once again, even though we're in the age of coronavirus, there are still opportunities for people to volunteer to help out your campaign, correct?
Yes. We're setting up phone banks. I know people don't necessarily like it to close, but we're setting up phone banks to do that. We are having people working on social media right now. And I would like to comment one thing about what you said about Gazelka. I guess he wants to turn us into Texas, Florida, and Arizona.
Yeah.
But both when it comes to policing and when it comes to health care. But, you know, that's kind of, I do need money. You know, it's just, money makes these offices go around. I got to do ads. I have to do signs. I have to get enough money now to meet the public option in here so the state will give me some money on there. So I need $3,000 in donations of $50 or less on there, so which means I need a lot of different people doing that. I'm getting donations, but not necessarily the numbers of donations that I need. And, you know, we don't have the biggest population
in Central Minnesota. And if I may intercede here, we have a lot in the metro area. We have a lot of Democrats who are generally relatively safe. Doesn't mean you don't help them. Doesn't mean you don't volunteer locally, by all means. And you don't take anything for granted. But there are a lot of seats out there that are – we can pick up a lot of seats like we did in 2018. But it takes people getting off their cabooses and going and volunteering. And it takes people pulling out their wallet and helping out someone like A. John here to get him into the Minnesota Senate. So A. John Peters for Senate, Senate District 9. It's AJP, the number 4, MNSenate.org, correct?
Yes, AJP, the number 4, MNSenate.org.
And, that,
and from there, you can either donate online or get the address to send a check.
Or volunteer as well if you want to help out his campaign.
Oh, on the webpage, I have a volunteer form, too, what you'd like to do.
By all means. And like I said, it is summer, and you're looking for something to do. You know, it's relatively safe. You can go up, and once again, social distancing, we've got all the face masks, you do all that good stuff. You can help on out and get say goodbye to Paul Gazelka. That would be a treat. Trust me, Paul Gazelka and Kurt Dowd are 99% of what's wrong in this state right now. A. John Peters, Minnesota Senate, AJP, the number 4, MNSenate.org. John, thank you very much. I appreciate the time. All my best, and I'm glad to see that you've gotten back from the COVID.
Yep, and thank you for your time, and let's go stop Gazelka from running for governor in 2 years.
Oh, oh, that's just that's a comedy bit. John, thank you very much. Thank you. Once again, it's A. John Peters, Senate District 9.